mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep, he can't hang around.
Tuesday, and welcome to our house here at WWDB. We are listening to Home Improvement Fix and Facts with Carol Holloway on a nice sunny day. Hooray! Why am I smiling and so cheery when I sat in traffic for over an hour? I don't know. Maybe because Wes, my production guy's over there, and he got to sample great chocolate yesterday. Wes and I have this running thing now with both of my radio shows, the one on Monday night from 3 to 4, Monday afternoon on Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, and of course here on Home Improvement Fix and Facts, we have a running thing with chocolate. And you've probably heard me say, you're like, Carol, this has nothing to do with home improvements. No, it doesn't, but every home should have chocolate in it. So there you go. So I took a ride out to Nutri-Chocolates, which is out in West Oxford, PA. I've passed it many times. We had their chocolates during COVID. And I found out from my sister that Neuchâtel is a little tiny Swiss town. And this person is a Swiss chocolatier. And I brought in some great chocolates yesterday. So did you have a chance to try them out?
Yeah. So all those truffles you brought were different like liqueur flavors,
yes.
Right? So I had the bourbon one. I didn't get a chance to try any of the other ones yet because I was so busy yesterday evening.
Good for you.
Yeah, I was working a thing for the Eagles game yesterday. But anyway, I tried the bourbon one and it was really good. The bourbon flavors and the chocolate flavors just go together so well.
Yeah.
I can't wait to try the other ones.
Oh, good. I'm so excited. And it's really cool to get good chocolate. Wes and I talk about that all the time. And this little place is right in Oxford, PA. I love these guys. I love their world-class candies. And, you know, they'll let you try a little sample if you ask. But I thought it would be fun because my sister has a business. Happy birthday coming up in like 2 days. 2 days. Yeah, happy birthday, sis. She goes to Switzerland almost every year because that's where their partner company is. And she brings back the best chocolate. So I thought it would be fun to have my chocolate there so she can sample it against the real deal in Switzerland, even though this person is a Swiss chocolatier. However, with the weekend being so busy, she left my house with no chocolate. The kids ate it. But anyway, so I just wanted to give a shout out because that is like a running conversation between Wes and myself. Whenever I find new chocolates, I like to share them. By the way, did you try that on Unreal chocolate bar? The coconut one I gave you?
No, I didn't get a chance to try that one yet, but it's...
It's not as good as the Swiss.
It's at home. It's all ready to go. I'm probably going to try it tonight when I get home.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, next week, I'm just going to jump forward to next week, and I'll remind everybody at the end of the show that our friend from HGTV and DIY is going to be visiting us again. He's a regular visitor here at Home Improvement Fix and Facts. Matt Blatchall will be joining us. He is an award-winning TV co-host of the DIY shows like Build It Forward. If you've ever seen any of those shows on HGTV, I love when he's with us. He's so much fun. And so I'm super excited that he'll be joining us. Today, we're going to tap into some of the 2022 Master Design Awards, and I thought that would be a lot of fun because when I said that last week, I actually got a question from Diane B. that says, what is your design nightmare? And I had to think about it because there are so many design nightmares out there, but I thought I would tackle this one, and a really good friend of mine tackled this, I think it was last year. Oh my gosh, how long ago? Time flies. There are so many DIY mistakes out there that people have made, but whoever thought that popcorn ceilings would be like a great thing? So if you're not familiar with popcorn ceilings, and some of you probably go look at your ceilings, they're all those little bubbles that are on your ceiling that are really rough, and sometimes they're a little glittery. And they're a pain in the neck. So I wanted to share a little history about popcorn ceilings. And my good friend took hers out, and it was a bit of a task, and it makes a mess. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. popcorn ceilings are usually the first thing to go when you renovate your house these days. But it wasn't too long ago that they were really, really freaking popular. I've never liked them. To me, it was a painter's nightmare because the only way to repaint a popcorn ceiling was to spray it. But the design, everything is so crazy with those ceilings because they're a pain in the neck to remove. And why were they so well liked? And why do you see them in a lot of apartment complexes and rental complexes or rental units, even houses? It is a very inexpensive way to hide imperfections and still give, as they say, a dazzling white finish. That's according to Tina Martin Del Campo, founder of Tina Martin Interiors. The ceilings began to trend back in the 1950s, and they still continued through the 1980s. I remember when my parents put one in, I was like, oh, ugly. I just don't like them. And they can be found in, like I said, a lot of low income to mid moderate housing developments, multi-story residential areas. And the reason that they were so popular is because they hid a lot of flaws. So if you had a lot of cracks in the ceiling, if you had bad drywall, if things weren't primed and painted properly, then you just simply add that textured popcorn to the ceiling and it covered all those irregularities. Let's see if Carol can speak today. So it was really quick and it was affordable and it was really useful and it was just, it exploded. And I'll never know why. I never thought it was pretty. And it really was something that came about in the suburbs following World War II. So if that helps you to understand. And popcorn ceilings could keep up with the need for speed, saving builders a lot of time and energy because they didn't have to do such great work when they were drywall and ceilings. It hid so many imperfections. It was inexpensive. And supposedly it had sound dampening qualities. Can't say that I know that for sure. They supposedly can reduce echoes in a room, just like, you know, a carpet can or like acoustic wall panelings. But that's where you mainly find them. What was the downfall of popcorn ceilings? And I just want to put this out there because if any of you have popcorn ceilings, this is going to be really important in removing them. A key material in the mid-century, like I said, they've just had a downfall. The treatment originally contained asbestos, which was discovered, as we all know, to be harmful to our health. And it's a natural fiber material that can be released into the air and cause serious health issues like cancer if it's inhaled or ingested. But popcorn ceilings containing asbestos usually weren't harmful if you didn't disturb them, like everything else, just like asbestos shingles and on the outside of a house and things like that. So just like lead paint, you don't touch it, doesn't hurt you. When they're damaged, when they crumble, when they're removed, they can be unsafe and unhealthy. And when the use of asbestos was banned back in the 1970s under the Clean Air Act, many manufacturers switched to tiny particles of vermiculite or polystyrene instead of asbestos. So the ceiling still kind of stayed popular, and then they started to decline in popularity in the 80s. Diana B., I'll bet you never thought you'd get so much information. So today, popcorn ceilings are rarely ever used. It's outdated. It can lower the value of your home. They're just not cool anymore. And like I said, I have never, ever liked them. So if you have one in your house and you're thinking about putting your house on the market, it might be worth removing it. However, here we go. Coughing season is going to be starting real soon. If you follow my show and you followed it always, Carol always coughs when the weather changes. So what can you do? It is not something you really want to tackle yourself. If you try to remove it yourself, it's extremely messy. It's labor intensive and potentially dangerous because depending on when it was put in, it could have asbestos in it. So my recommendation is you hire somebody to do it professionally. You can expect to pay about $1 to $2 a square foot. So that gives you an idea. And I would recommend try to get at least two estimates on that, get an idea of what they're going to do. They should be able to suck all that popcorn as they're scraping it down right into a vacuum, you know, like a big bag that sucks it in and keeps it from getting all over your house. I will tell you, however, like all construction projects, it will be messy. So don't think you're not going to be cleaning up. So put away anything that's good, cover over any pieces of furniture, and try to do your best to make it look as good as you possibly can, because it's going to make a mess in your house. Like I said, all construction actually does. So I hope that answered your question. And I got another response from George M., who said that he listened to my new show and he's liking it. So thank you. So I got some crossovers. Yay. I'm excited. You hear me talking about my new show. So those of you that don't know, and of course, Wes will pop a commercial in there for me. I started a second show here at WWDB. They so kindly thought I was creative and fun enough to do a second show. And it's called Tell Me More with Carol Holloway. And the topics vary every week. Next week, we're doing some major health issues all about hearing aids and prescription drugs and cost. And how important is the pharmacist? What role does he play in your medication? So I think it's a super important topic. So that's every Monday from 3 to 4. Yay. So I get 2 days back to back. Who knows? Maybe I'll work myself up to 5. Who knows? Because I sure can talk a lot. We already know that. So the 2022 Master Design Awards happened, and the judges of the 44th Annual Master Design Awards, and this is for Qualified Remodeler. You know I love that magazine, and you can jump online and subscribe and get your own copy if you're interested. They reviewed scores on hundreds of projects across 22 categories across the United States, and I wanted to let me just give you some ideas. They completed their demanding assignment over a course of 2 days, presenting gold, silver, and bronze, and sometimes honorable mention awards within each group. One category has just one gold winner and another only a gold and silver. So the judging this year was rather interesting. And the judges consisted of some names that I know in the industry and some that I don't. But we had, I'm just going to give you a brief one, Paul Kreiner, VP of Sales of Kreiner Remodeling in Newport News, Virginia. Jeff Grantham, owner of Grantham Building and Remodeling in Poughkeepsie, Michigan. Kaylin McCabe, TV host and contractor on the DIY Network. She's from Denver, Colorado. Michael Kane, CEO of Heirloom, the Air Room Companies in Illinois. Lisa Pickle, Pickell, let's say her name right, owner of Oren Pickell Building Products in Illinois, and Michael Anshel, principal AO Design, Build, and Architecture in Minneapolis. So it was interesting that the designers were asked some important questions about, you know, what were the trends in the winning designs, what made them pick the things that they did. And I thought it would be fun just to share some of that with you. And you can go onto the website at qualifiedremodeler.com /2022 Master Design Awards if you want to really drill down and get more information. But some of the questions that they were asked were, what were the top trends in the winning designs? And these are just the responses. I'm not going to say which ones said which response. But attention to detail, current design, thinking out solutions, the complexity of the projects. Again, most of the people said attention to detail. And to go back to something that Diane B. said, what is your design nightmare? My design nightmare is shabby workmanship, shoddy work, lack of good design, and incomplete design. People that think they know what they're doing, but they really don't. And that means contractors, carpenters, designers, anybody who calls themselves what they are, but they really don't do a good job. So that is definitely a pet peeve. They said that they saw that most of the trends were very high attention to detail and more focus on the overall design, style, and concept. And I happen to agree with that. So whether it's a mid-century modern craftsman style or just maintaining a style of like a 1920s house, people felt that it was very important to adhere to the particular design or style that is prevalent for that particular house. And I like that. I'm a fan of that. I don't think you should try to take an old, I've seen people do it and sometimes they can pull it off. I know I was in a house that was really a two-story, what you call early American house, and the minute, and it looked brick on the outside, all the trimmings of like that two-story brick early American house. And then the minute you walk inside, it was completely gutted and modern. And it just was such a disassociate from the front and then walking in the door. And it was really nice. It was attractive when you walked in the door, but it was so unexpected that it was unexpectedly ugly, even though the design was pretty, if you understand what I'm trying to say. So I think it's important. The average consumer watches enough HGTV at this point to know that it's not just making it nice, but it's making it say something and have definition in your house. Again, another designer said the use of color, texture, line, light, awareness of scale and flow, emotion and rhythm were constant trends in the winning design awards. Slat walls pulled from Japanese architecture are now coming into vogue. So, you know, just like shiplap used to be the big, big thing and people are still doing it. This is a new trend. Slat walls that are pulled from the Japanese architecture is something that new that you're going to see. So don't be surprised if designers start pushing that trend. The judges said that they saw a number of winners with warm natural wood tones and crisp paint that they found very appealing. I think there should be wood in every room, in my opinion. So one of the next questions was, what constitutes a great winning presentation? And of course, you can scroll through lots and lots of photos, the befores and afters. And when you look at them side by side, they highlighted the plans of the affected area, quick to point captions without a lot of fluff in those areas. They tell a story, and that's what you really want to see with the before and afters. You want to be able to feel like you walked through that transformation of what they were doing. And I think a great design that is poorly executed, like I just said, this was from Kreiner, said it'll never win. And I agree with that. If you have a great design and it's not well executed, it's never going to succeed. And just a great entry makes it easy for judges to understand the projects that they were putting on. I'm a fan of minimum, whether it's pictures, whether it's tchotchke that you have in your house. I'm not a fan of having lots and lots of crap, because that's what I call lots and lots of tchotchke crap. And I know a lot of people that decorate that way, and I just want to go in their house and take it all down. I rotate. I have boxes that are seasonal. So it always seems like I have something new going on in my house and, you know, try to bring it springy, try to bring it into the fall, things like that. And that's a great way to decorate in your house. If you have a lot of tchotchke, get yourself a box and start to declutter your house. Label the things that are in there and then switch it up. Many times I have things that I've had for 10, 20 years that are still timeless and wonderful in my house. And I'll switch them up and my husband will say, oh, when did you get that? Well, you've seen it before. We've had it here for a really long, long time. So that's kind of a fun thing to do to make your house look a little different. So we're going to come back and talk about some more things that they were looking for in their design. And the reason I'm sharing this with you listeners is because what they were looking for in what made winning designs or didn't make winning designs are things that you might want to consider when you're renovating, redecorating, remodeling your house. And before I go to commercial break, I always want to say, if somebody comes into your house to decorate and they're trying to push you out of your comfort zone and they're trying to push you out of your box, let them do it, because you might find some wonderful surprises. However, if they want you to discard every piece of furniture you have, that is a problem. If you have some heirlooms in your house, some antique pieces, or maybe you have a favorite rocking chair or some favorite pictures, they should be able to design and incorporate the pieces that you love into the new design in your house. I really think that's important, to keep the things that you love. And if you walk through my house, you know, my house is extremely eclectic, but it all meshes together, and everything I have, almost everything I have in my house, tells a story. So I like being able to share those stories when people will go over and they'll see, you know, a paperweight, or they'll see a piece of furniture that I have, and they'll say, oh my gosh, that's really cool. And I'm like, well, there's a story behind that. And that's why I like to do the things that I do. So if your designer is not decorating in a style that makes you comfortable with the things that you absolutely love, maybe it's time to get a second opinion. So when we come back, we're going to talk about what the non-winning entries lacked in their design. We'll be right back with more of Home Improvement Fix and Facts. Hi, it's Carol Holloway. Join me every Monday from 3 to 4 for my show, Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, as we discuss politics, health, family, economy, and just about any topic that we all deal with as we search for answers in today's world. Because things aren't always black and white. Sometimes you can sit on the fence undecided till you get the real facts.
Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, Mondays at 3 p.m. on WWDB 860 AM, WWDBAM.com, or the Odyssey app.
Hi, this is Kelsey Grammer. When military service members head into battle, none are expected to face the enemy alone, but many return home and become isolated as they struggle with the visible and invisible wounds of war. It can be difficult knowing how to overcome that challenge and rekindle bonds similar to those formed in the military. Wounded Warrior Project supports these injured veterans through their recoveries by connecting them with fellow warriors and their communities. No one should fight this battle alone. Join us at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
Here's an important message for all first responders, tow truck operators, and anyone who works on Pennsylvania roadways. Every day, emergency responders just like you are struck by vehicles while working on the road. Some don't survive. Others are critically injured and can never go back to the jobs they love. Lives are changed forever in a matter of seconds. Today's drivers are more distracted than ever before and often don't see responders working on the road until it's too late. In 2020, emergency responders and other highway workers are being struck and killed at least once every 7 days. Remember, you can't help anyone if you become a victim yourself. Get trained in traffic incident management and learn how to survive. It's free of charge, and it's waiting for you now. Work safely, stay alert, and stay alive. Your family, friends, colleagues, and the public you serve need you. This message is brought to you by Penntime and Beasley Media Group. Learn more about Pennsylvania traffic incident management training at penntime.com.
And we are back with more of Home Improvement Fix and Facts. And light, like that song says, is very important in your home decor. And how the light hits things. And I'm not just talking about the light of a light that you turn off and on, or ceiling light. I'm talking about the way the sunlight, the sunset, the way things reflect through your house, how they make your room look at different times of day, how that sunlight or that sunset reflects on the walls, which can all be just so stunning and so beautiful. So, and if you want to know more about lighting, you can go back through any of my podcasts. We've done a couple different shows on lighting and proper heights of lighting and how lighting affects your home. So, some things that when they were doing the 2022 awards, that they found that these are the judges found that they were not happy with, that made the designs non-winning entries, that they didn't pick, is one of them said often it was just the last turn of the wheel. There were so many good examples of Revive Space being so much stronger and better than before, but how all the new elements fit together is the key. And I am so focused on that. How the ceiling height interacts with the cabinetry, which relates to the pattern of the tile. There were a lot of great ideas, but I think the cohesiveness, as they said, is so important when you're putting things together. Multiple errors in lack of poor design and poor execution. And I just cannot stand shoddy work, incomplete work, work that isn't thought out. And that's probably why I'm so attracted to my husband, who is a carpenter, because he's kind of anal about the perfection of how things look and his crown molding and his wainscoting and, you know, the things that he does when he works. And he knows how particular and how picky I am. And I think over the years, now when he does something, he'll take a seat back and he'll go, would Carol like this? Is it centered on the wall? Is it perfectly this way? Which I love that he finds himself asking that question now. And sometimes he'll say things to me and I'll say, well, would I like it? And if he knows what the answer is to that, that is the answer. So it's really important that you put things together that work well, that flow together. There can be a lot of nice projects out there, but if the pieces don't work, I have seen designers do some beautiful work and you can mix some crazy colors together and get a beautiful result, but sometimes you just can't pull it off. And one of my decorating tips for you is after you're done a room, after you've thrown the cushions on the pillow and added the plants and the tchotchke and everything else that you're putting in the room and you're going, ah, this looks like it's done, go in that room and remove at least one item. Just take one away, because we always tend to overdo a little bit more than we're expecting that we should have done. So once that room is done, take something away. A lot of the entries that were rejected were because the photography was poor. They had too many photos or not enough photos to really describe the projects that they did. So it made it really hard to see what was remarkable about the work that they were doing. Some of the ideas, again, going back to that poorly conceived ideas. There were entries that were competent but unremarkable. And in some categories, they said here, in some categories, where we had over 40 entries in a given category, the difference between winning and not winning was razor thin. A difficult decision weighing the merits of each project. So what are the benefits for companies who submit? Well, without reading what they said, I think it generates into more work. But feeling good about your work and having your colleagues and the people that you work with know that you were part of that project that you worked on. Getting recognition from somebody who's independent, who has no vested interest in making yours the winning design, because they're picking out what they consider to be the best of the best. And it's priceless. And the PR that you can get is so important. Speaking of PR and things like that, be a little bit careful when you go to places like Howls.com, because some people will pay to get their awards, to get submitted and get awards. You know, you always see the best of Howls. Well, I found out through the years, pretty much everybody that pays and signs up for Howls gets the Best of Howls award. So just wanted you to know that. It would behoove you to not do your homework on any designer or construction company or plumber or carpenter or architect or landscape designer. Do your due diligence. I say this all the time on my show. Do your homework. Check out their work. Ask for references. It's not inexpensive these days, and at the end of the show, we're going to wrap this up where construction prices are. It is not inexpensive to do remodeling products or new construction or any construction in your house, and it's your hard-earned money that you have to part with out of your pocket or pocketbook and or your bank account or your savings, and so you want to make sure that you are getting the best bang for your buck when you're doing this. So when it comes to the designs that you're doing and who benefits, it's just the company, of course, benefits. The competition is so fierce out there. And so it's a good reputation for the business to be able to put that up on your website. And don't do it foolishly. And I say that because, like I said, Howe's just kind of awards everybody the best design. So to be able to have a master design award is like really fierce, as Anshel says, against fierce competition, and you should appreciate that accomplishment. So I agree with some of the things that they said here about don't be afraid to push the boundaries and create unique spaces, and they inspire you, but they're kind of timeless in everything that you're doing. And we did a show probably about a year ago on how to make multi-purpose room spaces, and that's something that we need to consider these days. What you can do, what details you can do, how you can lay out your room and make it look really, really cool. You can also go to the website and you can design, you can look at the winners. And I was blown away by these designs. I will probably never live in some of the houses that I saw that were, well, I won't. I know I won't. But the minute you click on the Master Design Awards, the first house that pops up with the water there, and there's a garage with a boat that you can let out, and these beautiful, it has a little bit of a craftsman style. It is just so gorgeous. In the design, and I was just blown away when I opened up the page. And they did it in different categories, in different price categories when they were doing it. So if you want some inspiration in your house and you don't necessarily want to look at, take the inspiration from the designer, I highly recommend you go here and look at what they did on budgets of redesign. They did whole house designs, more than $700,000. They did whole house designs from $300,000 to $700,000. Whole house less than $300,000. They did a lot of historic renovations. And historic renovations, like I said, keeping in the element of the design and the style of the house are so important. And finding somebody who knows how to do that is really important. If you have an old historic house and you want to keep the style and the feel of that, but bring a little bit of a modern feel, you need some history on that house. Maybe you want to take it back to what it was. I have some amazing contacts, some amazing designers that know how to do this, that know how. If it's architecture and building and you're trying to build in that style, I have somebody who is amazing. If you have a designer who you want to be able to design in the style of that house and keep that feel, but bring it up, make it a little bit more edgy, I have people that can do that. Within the awards, besides the historic renovations, there was exterior facelifts. Those blew me away looking at the before and afters. And again, these are great ways to get great ideas for your home. I always say when you're going to do renovations, when you're going to add an addition, when you're going to do a new construction, you should have a little portfolio. Whether I'm one of those handsy people, I like to print out the pictures. I like to have pictures that I can see and feel and touch and page through and lay them out and look at them all together. But a lot of younger people today and a lot of designers are doing everything through their tablets and their iPhones or their Droids, whatever they're using. But you should start a portfolio of your favorite looks, your designs. You might not like the whole aesthetic of maybe an exterior renovation or an exterior facelift, but there might be elements of that design that you like the way the porch was laid out, or you might like the door that was really fascinating. And I think it's a great way to put that portfolio together. They also did design exterior, they did additions that cost more than $250,000, which were amazing. And then they did additions that were less than $25,000. So you can see that these awards were all over the place as far as price, gold, silver, bronze. They also took into consideration outdoor living spaces. And I love outdoor living spaces. I love outdoor kitchens. I wish I could have one. Hint, hint, if you're listening, husband. I love outdoor spaces. I think they're just, it just gives you an extra living space, you know, almost three seasons of the year. And so if you're not sure about that, you might want to look at some of those outdoor spaces. I know that when I was out in Seattle a couple years ago, they kind of didn't have any bugs. And so a lot of people had rooms that could just open into the outside and expand the living space. It was like daylight and open and no screens and no windows. A little bit harder to do around here, especially because it's lantern bug season. And I can't stand those suckers, but it very, very beautiful things that you can do and get ideas. Even if it's something as simple as a fire pit, it's nice to have ideas. It's nice when you do something in your home and you can stand back and go, wow, that looks amazing. And it's also nice when other people come to visit your space and they go, wow, what did you do? That looks so good. It puffs up our feathers. It makes us feel good. In saying all of that, you know, I'm talking about all this design and I'm talking about all these budgets that we have, but how lucky are you that you even woke up in a house or an apartment or something this morning, that you could turn a light on, that you had food in the refrigerator, hopefully, that you had a warm bed that you slept in, that you had clothes to put on. How lucky are we here in the United States of America to be able to do these things and to be able to sit here, for me to sit here on the radio at WWDB and talk about home improvements and spending your money and things that you can do. We are so blessed, and I don't think people realize how lucky they are to be able to do those things. And on that note, I will take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back and talk about a little bit more of the designs. And I can't urge you enough to go and look at some of these designs. I think you're going to see more insight and more design and more ideas than you'll ever see on Howl's or some of those other websites. And I'm not trying to knock them. I'm just trying to say this is spectacular. We'll be right back with more of Home Improvement Fix and Facts. Hi, it's Carol Holloway. Join me every Monday from 3 to 4 for my show, Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, as we discuss politics, health, family, economy, and just about any topic that we all deal with as we search for answers in today's world. Because things aren't always black and white. Sometimes you can sit on the fence undecided till you get the real facts.
Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, Mondays at 3 p.m. on WWDB 860 AM, WWDBAM.com, or the Odyssey app.
Hi, I'm Vivica Fox. For more than 100 years, American Humane has been rescuing animals during hurricanes, floods, and wildfires. But Mother Nature isn't the only danger animals face. Sometimes it's human nature. Every year, 6 million animals are abandoned and more than 1 million are euthanized. You can be a hero to animals in need of rescue and adoption at AmericanHumane.org.
Serving my country changed my life forever, and when I got home, every day was a struggle. I felt trapped, but everything changed the day my family received a specially adapted custom home from Homes for Our Troops. Now we have a safe and accessible home to enjoy the freedom I fought for.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post-9/11 veterans. Join our mission at hfotusa.org.
If you love the WWDB Talk 860 programming, stay tuned in wherever you go through smart speaker, desk computer, or smartphone at WWDBAM.com. Wherever you go, from Philly to Phoenix or France, wherever you may be, at home or the tallest office tower, you won't miss a minute of your favorite music, commentary, or lifestyle show. Stay tuned in at WWDBAM.com. Ask Alexa, download our app, or just log on to WWDBAM.com.
I gotta get out of bed, get a hammer and a nail, learn how to use my
hand. Oh yeah, hammer and a nail. I got a couple questions about popcorn ceilings, so we're going to come back and tackle that in the last couple minutes. And we had a popcorn ceiling or something very similar to that. I don't even know what the heck it was in our apartment, so I'll tell you what we did. Anyway, under the design awards, for those of you that are looking to do detached structures, and that's where you'll see this just freaking stunning house that was on there with this beautiful wooden garages, with the water, with this huge river rocks. Oh, my heart just skipped a beat when I saw it. But they even did things like kitchens that fell in, you know, more than $150,000, between $75,000 and $150,000. And I highly recommend, again, if you're thinking about doing a kitchen remodel, check out what look at the awards, look at what they did. Pick out the things that you liked in the design. You're going to see a little less in the grays this year than we've seen in the past. Grays are still very, very popular in the kitchen area, but they're starting to be replaced by some bolder colors, some blues, some greens, some blacks, believe it or not. And then one of my favorites is bathrooms. A good bathroom remodel is just awesome. And we don't always have a lot of space in our bathrooms. Maybe we're knocking down a wall to make it bigger. We're trying to take out a tub. Maybe we want a freestanding tub. So you'll find some absolutely beautiful designs there. And they use products. They do use some high-end products in some of these that I have seen on the designs, but they did bathrooms more than $75,000. But I like the ones that I saw where they did bathrooms that were in under $50,000 that I just thought, wow, that is clever. That is so cool to be able to do these designs. And when you look at this stuff, these are all areas, like, I know these products. I'm looking at everything and I'm going, oh, that's a this, and that's a watermark, and that's a waterstone, and that's a, you know, that's a La Cava wall-hung faucet. These are names that people don't always know, and it's better to think, again, out of the box instead of just looking at your big box stores. But some of the bathroom designs that they did were just stunning. Some of the freestanding showers. And then another one that we often forget is when we do a remodel in our basement. You know, that's a DIY project we've had going on with many of the others in our Money Pit house, which someday I'll be able to tell you is done, because it's like the carpenter, the cobbler who makes shoes. His children have none. That's our house. We're always a work in progress. But basement design, if you're looking for something really awesome in basement design, this is a great way to look at some of the flooring, some of the textiles that were used in those areas. We all don't have big, beautiful basements, but you can take a basement area and make it look like a real living space and not a basement, which I think is so important when you're doing design in a basement, when you're trying to obtain more living space. By the way, remember, a basement, even if it's a refinished basement, can't be counted into square footage unless it has an entry to the outside. Through the basement. It must have not just the steps that come into the basement from the inside of the house, but it must have something like a Belco door or a step-out patio or something like that. If it doesn't have that, no matter how beautiful that basement is, when you go to sell your house, technically you're not supposed to count it as square footage in your house, just like you're not supposed to count a garage as square footage in your house. That brought up a lot of, that's a whole nother show talking about how we do our square footage in our house. And then there was residential specialties, like amazing things, like people that had their, you know, they wanted a library, or they wanted a wine cellar, or they wanted a music room. There were just amazing designs, and they showed you the different price ranges for those, as well as interior design, more than $100,000, less than $100,000. And those didn't fall into any particular category. They were just worth mentioning. They did some universal designs in there. You will be floored when you look at some of these designs that are in there, from things that are just very basic and very simple to really complex. And then they did some like commercial building, and there were a couple for insurance restoration, where something might have been flooded and the insurance company gave the people the opportunity to rebuild the spaces. So you're going to see some really amazing picks on there. And those awards just happened this month. So I highly encourage you to take a look at that. And while we're at it, an industry giant, Herbert V. Kohler, passed away. So there you go. We all know that name, Kohler. So to answer a couple questions that I got quickly, going back to popcorn ceilings, can you drywall over a popcorn ceiling? Yes, you can. We did that in our apartment. It was that ugly. Oh, the ceiling was just disgusting. And the time it would have taken to take all that down and redo it and fix the cracks and do the things that needed to be done were not worth it. So my husband used 3/8 inch sheetrock to cover and repaired anything that was bowed in there that needed work in any holes in the wall. But the best thickness for drywalls is 5/8, and that's great for the ceiling. You can use 1/2 inch if you want to. It's been approved for spaces inside, but you want to be careful that it doesn't get too heavy and it's sagging. And this is an issue. Like I said, we have a money pit house, and in our what we call the great room, it is the main room of our house. It's not that great. Trust me, it's not that big. But it's the kitchen, the dining room, and the living room, all open concept. This house was redesigned a couple times, it looks like. We are only the third owner in our house. But you can see the drywall is sagging in our house up against the attic. It's going to be a huge project. Will we fix it in our lifetime? Not unless we have a huge windfall and Publisher's Clearinghouse comes knocking at my door. It won't get fixed. I doubt it. But it's sagging, and you can see the sagging. And because we're at the point now where we've been in the house for a little while, it needs a fresh coat of paint in that main room. Everything that is wrong with our ceiling stands out. So, yeah, you can drywall over a popcorn ceiling. And I tried. Somebody asked me, why do they put glitter in a popcorn ceiling? It says here that that is a sign that the asbestos usually contains the ceiling usually contains asbestos. The gold and silver metal flakes are usually a telltale sign that there's asbestos in that textured ceiling. And I had a hard time. Somebody said, who invented it? And I did a quick web search during the commercial break, and I couldn't find the answer. So I'm looking, and I'm trying to find the answer, who invented the popcorn ceiling. I put it in. I put a search in. I got everything there and about, but not actually who invented it. But going back to those ugly, ugly popcorn ceilings, somebody said, does it really depreciate your house? It makes your house look dated. So in a way, it does depreciate the look of your house. It makes it look like, yeah, you didn't really take the extra time to do it. So take the extra time, spend the couple $100,000, depending on the size of the room, to remove the popcorn ceiling. And it said here, I was right, $1 to $2 a square foot. Most homeowners can spend anywhere between $900 to $3,000 on removing a popcorn ceiling. So if anybody finds that answer, please IM me on my Instagram page, Home Improvement Fix and Facts, or Facebook IM, which is where I get most of my messages. So, okay, real quick, what's going on in the market? We have probably about 10 minutes here. First of all, the housing market, the feds were supposed to raise the rates this week up to 0.75%. And it looks like they're backing off that right now, which will be a big help for anybody that's in the housing market and trying to lock in a price. Now is the time to do it because there's a lot in that area. And then construction prices. As you know, we've had 2 years of volatility, and we've had historic price increases. The construction prices went through the roof, but they're finally starting to level off. However, I'm going to tell you, they are a heck of a lot higher than they are and they have been in the past 2 years. Just simple things like Trex, anything that you're doing in your decking materials, whether it's lumber or a Trex deck or anything like that, you're probably going to see increases that are almost 50% increase over last year. So while the prices are becoming a little more predictable, it's really, really hard to know exactly how much they're going to stable, you know, where they're going to stable off. That they are stabilizing. However, they're definitely more expensive than they were before. So total construction projects were up by 48% in this past July. Largely, it was mostly fueled by the spikes in infrastructure and manufacturing. Residential construction has started to drop quite a bit, and the rate of commercial buildings has also slowed. So you're going to see that slowing down in the industries. And you're also going to see a lot of places where we were buying some of our designs, like Bed Bath & Beyond is slowly closing a bunch of stores. I just think it's just due to where we are in the industry. You could fool me that there's the talk of a recession going on, because when I go to restaurants, when I go into the big box stores, when I go into the plumbing supply stores, they're packed. They're crowded. People are still doing renovations. People are still doing all the repairs. Nothing has stopped. Nothing has stopped. So I just wanted to let you know that it's still going on. Building prices, like I said, in a lot of areas, like you can see a huge 50%, but overall the increase was about 8%, according to NAHB in April of 2022. Lumber prices are slowly coming down. It's down nearly 23% from where it was when the pandemic started and all the prices were going up. But it's still going to cost more overall. I love that we're seeing soft lumber going down, but overall it's down nearly 23%, including a 35% drop in March of 2022. The bad news is that it's still up there. The National Association of Home Builders say it's still unclear if the decrease is going to continue. So that's about where we are. And like so many things that are out there, I say do your homework. Even drywall, oh my goodness, is still up. We haven't seen, that's up 23% since 2021. So, and it still could increase more. So that gives you an idea. Paint has been costing more. That's gone up. Paint prices, OMG. The price of paint increased like over the years since 2021, 33% to 49%. So, and that was according to American Painting Contractors. So just be aware that there are huge price increases along with the freight increases. Gas prices have been going down, but to get these, the cost of goods to you, the prices, they still have to put gas in the vehicles. They still have to get it to you. So even though gas has been going down, that cost of freight has still been added into the cost of everything you're doing. So real quick, next week, we are going to have my wonderful regular visitor here, Matt Blatchell from DIY and HGTV, sharing a little bit of time with us, getting us. It's just timely for fall and winter energy saving. So I'm super excited to have him here next week. And because we're getting into the fall, the equinox happens next week. It's official day of fall on the 21st, September 21st. That's what I messed up last week. I thought it was daylight saving time changing, but it's the equinox. So now I know it's the first day of fall, which means we want to start prepping our properties outside and inside and getting them ready. So as always, it has been a delight to be here at Home Improvement Fix and Facts at WWDB. And don't forget next week to listen at the same place, same time, and catch my new show, Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, every Monday from 3 to 4. My shameless plug. See you next week. Old house, it just needs a little home.